Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Pei Tet Amud Aleph. We're continuing the sugya. The Gemara is discussing here the case of individuals who have five Korbanei Pesach, which the skins got mixed up after the fact. And we're looking at these skins, and one of them has a yabelet, one of them has a mum on it. So that means one of them is pasul. And given that one of them is pasul, what do we do, or what can we do for these individuals? So the Gemara says, why don't they bring a korban to at least rectify the situation for the one individual who didn't bring a korban a Pesach? The Gemara says, what are you going to do? We have no choice. The Gemara says, what do you mean you have no choice? Let them all bring a korban a Pesach. So the Gemara says, you can't do that because ma'iti chulin lazara. If they bring an extra korban Pesach, if they don't need the korban a Pesach, they're going to end up bringing chulin to lazara. So okay, fine, doesn't work. The Gemara says, okay, let's have all of them join together and make a single korban Pesach in a joint fashion. Rashi says, can't do that either, because four of them are shalolim nuyav. Four of them are people who don't belong on a korban Pesach because they can't eat from a korban Pesach. Doesn't work. Gemara says, okay, we have a better solution. We know that a korban Pesach and a shlamim are somewhat interchangeable. So let all of them bring a korban that'll be either a shlamim or a Pesach. If they're chayav in Pesach, it'll be a Pesach. If they're chayav in shlamim, it'll be a shlamim. Rav says you can't do that, and that's what we're up to at the top of Pei Tet Amud Aleph. Shum deika chazet v'shok. You have the problem of the matnot kuhuna to kohanim hu de achlilei that belongs to the kohanim from a shlamim. The chazet v'shok belong to the kohanim, whereas by a korban at Pesach there is no necessity to give any matnot kuhuna. Everything belongs to the balim. So why not give it to him anyway? So if it's a shlamim, it works out. If it's a Pesach, it's shalolim nuyav. He's not a part of this korban at Pesach. He's not allowed to eat from a korban at Pesach that he was not joined with. But the Gemara is going to ask a question along those lines, which is, Neitik ol b'chad koin ba'day. Have a coin join your group. Each one of them will have a coin as part of their group. So that way, they'll give the chazen shok. Every one of them will give the chazen shok to the kohanim. If it's a korban pesach, fine. He's chayav in korban pesach, he'll eat it. If it's a shlamim, he'll eat his chazer v'shok. Where it says, I coin, ichidami. Let's figure out what's going on with this coin. Idavid pesach. If you're ready for a korban pesach, Dilma hai Pesachu. One of these five korbanot really is a Pesach. Benimsa Pesach nechal l'shlom nuyav. He's eating a Pesach when he shouldn't be eating a Pesach. Vi delo avid Pesach. And if this kohen did not do a Pesach, Dilma shlamim hu. The other four of them are really bringing a shlamim, not a Pesach. Delo avid Pesach. And now he's out of luck because he's getting the chazev shok, but he didn't end up with the korban of Pesach. All you're doing is transferring the problem from the original owners now to the Kohanim. You have four Kohanim who didn't bring a korban Pesach. Now one who did, but you still don't know who they are. So then the Gemara says, okay, we have a better solution to this. Neite kol ani chamishach ad kohen to lo have Pesach. Benim le ilave. They'll take this one kohen, have him join all five of the parties. Let's make this easier. All five of them will have a one kohen, join them on their korban, a kohen who has yet to bring a korban Pesach. So this kohen who has yet to bring a korban Pesach will get the chazen shok from all five of the karbanot. For four of them, he's eating shlamim. For one of them, he's eating a karban pesach. That's exactly what he needs. He needs a karban pesach. So it'll work out perfectly. Gemara says, "Hani chamisha psachim dimiman avshach. Ika chad lo avid pesach." Out of these five psachim, one of them didn't do a pesach, and one of them really is a karban pesach. And the kohen will be yotze with that one. It'll work out actually very well. El mishum dekama ayit b'achilat shlamim. I have a problem here is because you're actually, from the shlamim standpoint, where what you call mevi kodshim the baked soul. You're shortening the time period in which the kodshim are valid. A shlamim, as we know, is shnei yamim v'layla echad. Pesach is only yom v'layla. I mean, technically only layla, but yom v'layla. That's what Gemara says here. Dilu pesach yom v'layla. V'yu shlamim l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. So because of that, the shlamim, you're going to drive to be pasul much earlier than it otherwise should be. You're going to burn it as notar, or you're going to say it's notar prior to the time that it's really notar, because you don't know which one's the Pesach, which one is the shlamim. Or it says, okay, no problem. V'neite motar ha-Pesach. Or it says, no problem. Bring a motar ha-Pesach. A motar ha-Pesach, which is a Pesach that otherwise was going to be a korban ha-Pesach, and for whatever reason now is not a Pesach. We discussed this in the past. He took two animals, l'achrayut. He separated money to use his korban pesach. He had excess money. So that's how you have a motar pesach. So this motar pesach has a din, even if it's brought as a shlamim, it has a din like a pesach, which is yom v'layla. So I've solved my problem now because it has the same time duration. As Rashi states it over here, let's bring a motar pesach. Rashi says, You'll be mekadesh the shlamim to be a motar ha-pesach. So even though this is not really a motar ha-pesach, but you say, I'm makdish this to be a motar ha-pesach. Either it's a pesach or a motar ha-pesach. Tosafot doesn't like that so much. He says, how do you create a motar ha-pesach, being mekadesh a motar ha-pesach? Rather, he says, Elanir the Rish, yakdish the pesach, that he'll be makdish for a pesach, vim bamum shelo yatsa bazeh, vim lav yeh motar ha-pesach. You'll be makdish it as a pesach. And automatically, for four of them, it will become a motar ha-pesach. Because four of them already brought a korban ha-pesach. The other person didn't bring a pesach, so his will remain a pesach. For the other three of them, it will automatically become motar ha-pesach, because you're makdish a pesach when you've already brought a pesach. So that is exactly what a motar ha-pesach is. V'neima, and this is what he'll say, idi di ba'mum. If mine was the ba'mum, hai da'ati hashni ave pesach. The one I'm bringing now is a pesach. Idi di tamhu. If mine was a group korban ha-pesach beforehand, that which I'm bringing now will be the shlamim. The motar pesach nechal yom v'layla echad, because a motar pesach has the same time duration as a pesach itself, and so because of that, we don't have this problem. Mevi kochim the beit psul anymore. Where it says v'chi mafreshim tchila the motar rot. Wait a minute, l'chatchila you're going to go ahead and make something into motar pesach. Here you have individuals going to be makdish a pesach, knowing that it's going to be a motar pesach. Motar pesach is a result of having too many psachim, or being mafrish up front, achrayut, meaning that you take two out in case you lose one, or you have excess money. But you don't start from a position where I'm going to make something into a motar pesach. It is a result, not something that you do actively. Gemara says, okay, v'nitrachu v'naiti motar pesach. Fine. There are going to be people who have leftover psachim. There is going to be the situation where there are motar pesach. So you have to find those individuals, and basically you'll buy it off of them. You'll buy their motar pesach. Rashi says that either it's people nitrotu lehem pesach chai, that are left over extra pesach, or ma'ot pesach, or money of pesach. Tosafot leans heavily in favor in saying that it was a case where there was money left over, and not in a case where you have an actual pesach left over, because... Right, because if it's an actual Pesach left over, you're going to have a hard time purchasing that Pesach. Because it's very hard to transfer the Kedusha and purchase the Pesach in that case, because we're going to see later in the Gemara today, you can't purchase the Shlamim. So since you can't purchase the Shlamim, that's not a great solution. So the better solution is to find someone who had excess money left over that needs to be used for a Pesach. In that case, you can make it into a Pesach. The Gemara's assumption, there is one person on each Korban HaPesach, wow, which is subject to a Machloket later on, whether you can have one person on a Korban HaPesach. But you're right. The truth is, it could be a whole chabura of people, not just one individual. Which the Gemara says in other places, which is interesting, the Gemara does not approach it this way here. For instance, by Mitzora. By Mitzora, we let him bring a korban, or do certain things, even though it's not optimal, even though it's bidiyavad, because, the Gemara says, tikkun gavra. There's no other way to get this person out of being a Mitzora, because we have a problem with safek, and we let him do it. The same reasoning could be brought over here, which is, these people are all stuck, and we need to do something for them in order to have a Korban HaPesach. You say Pesach Sheni, it still doesn't help the situation because we don't know who needs to bring the next Korban. And so because of that, we would generally say that if you're in a possible situation and we can rectify by doing something b'diavad, we would do it. Yet over here, the Gemara does not go that route and does not entertain that possibility. It's interesting that the Gemara doesn't do that. Ela mishum smicha. It's a problem of smicha. This is an interesting problem. It's a machloket tanaim with regards to smicha, whether smicha has to be done b'chol kocho, with all your strength, meaning you have to lean on the animal with all your strength, or simply you have to put your hands on top of the animal. If you just have to put your hands on top of the animal, there's no problem here. If you have to lean b'chol kocho on top of the animal, then you have a serious issue over here, because you're mishtamesh b'kodoshim. If it doesn't require smicha, then you're leaning on an animal, and you're using the animal to support yourself, which is not allowed in kodoshim. So because of that, you'll actually end up with a problem, because shlamim requires smicha, Pesach does not require a smicha. So now I have a problem. I have four of them that require smicha, one of them does not require smicha. Dilu Pesach lo bai smicha, vilu motar bai smicha, because motar Pesach is a shlamim, that does require smicha, whereas the regular Pesach doesn't. Mar says, "Hatinach karban anashim." That works well for a karban that belonged to men. Men, because anashim, bnei Yisrael somchim, ve'ein benot Yisrael somchot. That is, bnei Yisrael requires smicha. Women do not require smicha. Elo mishum atanot, the problem of dam on the mizbeach. The dam on the mizbeach, because the shlamim requires shtaim shehein arba. Karban pesach requires matana achat keneged ha'yisod. One sprinkling against the wall over the yisod. Whereas a korban shlamim is shtayim shen arba. If you do it in the two corners, like split out, you throw it towards the corner, then it splits out into four directions on the two sides where there is, or the two corners where there is a yisod opposite each other. If that's the case, you have difference in matanot dam, you run into a problem. What's the difference? Hatnan. We have a Mishnah. Anything that you put on the Mizbeach, any korban that you bring, as long as you get something to the Mizbeach, then it's kasher. So yes, but optimally we'd like you to have shtayim shen arba. But if you get the one matanah, like you would do for a Pesach, that would suffice in terms of a shlamim. Ela, mishum deilu Pesach b'shvicha. By Pesach, the matanot dan are done by gently pouring the blood onto the Mizbeach in an area on the wall above, an area where there's the yisod. Ve'ilu shlamim b'zrika. The shlamim are done by throwing it out of the mizrak. You throw it towards the wall, and then it splits across the wall at the corner. Then the Gemara says, "My nafkamina." What's the difference? Hatanya kol nitanim bezrika shenatnan b'shvicha yatsa. Anything that requires zrika, if you did it through shvicha, you're yotze b'di'evit. So again, if you did shvicha, you'd be fine. Eimar de'gamrina di'avad b'chatchila nami. So the Gemara answers in the end, and it's the answer to all these questions. The Garbi smicha as well. As Tosfos points out, this answer goes back on everything we just asked over here. Smicha, matnot dam, as well as the shvicha versus zrika. All of these situations, when I say to you that you could do it, bidi avad, if you didn't do the item, or it wasn't required, then you're fine. But, l'chatchila, we wouldn't ask you to do a korban or bring a korban in such a manner. We're not going to tell you l'chatchila, bring a korban and do one matanah. We're not l'chatchila going to tell you, bring a korban, do it shvicha, even though it requires zrika. The chatchila by smicha. If it requires smicha, we're going to tell you to do smicha now. Korban nashim would still have that residual issue, which is women do not require smicha. But then you would involve another question, is whether you can have a chaburat nashim of women entirely on side of a korban, which again, subject to the Gemara, we'll see later on, about whether women can have their own chaburah on a korban of Pesach. Even assuming that they can, then you have the possibility of doing it. Then you have the other issues of the matnot dam, which would come up. But again, where we won't allow it to be bidiyavad. You know, in other cases where we have no way to rectify the individual, we generally say to them, we want you to do a di'avad, even though it's not the optimal solution, but how else are we going to get the person a solution? Over here, Tosafot says, we're not going to opt that way. We're not going to opt that way, even though Korban HaPesach is an assay that has a karet associated with it. If an assay has a karet associated, we'd much rather get the assay done, even if it's bidi'avad. It says no, because over here, you have a choice between shevi al taseh. If you do absolutely nothing, then you violate the assay of karet in a passive manner. Whereas if I do all the other options here, where I sprinkle the blood in this way, I do the shvicha, then I'm actively doing something in an incorrect manner. And he says, I'd rather have you do a shevi al taseh than a kumba assay, where you're doing it in the wrong way. And in the end, that's the difference between here and mitzora. By mitzora, you need tikkun gavra. By mitzora, the person themselves remains tamei until you rectify the situation. So we can't leave it in that situation. We can't leave it like that, because otherwise the person's stuck. And there's no way to get him to be tahor. That we're not going to do. On the other hand, over here, this person is, yes, he's in violation of an assay that has karet associated, but he's doing it passively. And in that situation, we'd rather have the person violate it passively than ask whether it's himself or others are involved in the korban to violate it actively. All right, now, Mishnah. Omer levanav, it says to his children, Areni shochet apesach hamish shiale mikem rishon Yerushalayim. I'm shechting Pesach on whoever gets Yerushalayim first. It's a race. Whoever gets there first, I'm shechting the garment of Pesach, and whoever gets there first, it belongs to them. Kevin Shechnis Rishon Rusho Verubo. It's the first one gets his head and his robe of his body into Yerushalayim. Zachah b'chalko. He's okay in his portion. Mazaket echavimo. And then he can bring his rest of his family or the rest of his siblings along with him. So here for the photo finish, they tell you what the rules are. It's not just getting whatever part of your body across the line. You gotta get Rosho Verubo across the line to be the winner here. That's number one. Number two is, Shmamina Yesh Breira. Again, the problem of Breira that comes introduced in this mission is the third time. Mara is raising the issue of Breira here, because he says, I'm shechting the Korban, whoever gets there first. That means he's shechting the Korban, and the determination of who gets there first is only after the fact, is in the future. So Mara says, no. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kereda Zarzan B'mitzvot Kamar. The truth is that he included all of them. It's not a case where he says, I'm going to take one of you and not the other. Why did he do this? He wanted to light a fire under their feet to get them up to Yerushalayim quickly. So he set it up as a race. I can prove that to you from our Mishnah, that his other siblings are included. Once he gets it, they're included with him. Yamar Bishlama Damin Hubi Kara. If you say that the father originally kept all the siblings on the Korban, Shapir, that makes sense. If you say the father never included the other siblings, the Varta the Shachid, Mika Mitmanu. After the fact, you can't put people onto the Korban of Pesach. This is post Shechita. So even if you say Braver works over here, and this individual is there first, is the one who's included, how does he include the rest of the siblings? He can't include the siblings. They were there after the Shechita was done. They weren't included originally. So how are they being joined into the Pesach now? Must be that they were included originally. So if they're included originally, what's the whole point of this whole patent or a scheme? Is to get the kids up there quickly, see who can get there, move them up to Yerushalayim quickly. Vatnan, the next Mishnah here. Nimninu moshkim yidem yimet yachi yishchot. You can join the Korban Pesach or leave the Korban Pesach until the time of Shrita. So from Amina, that the case here is a case where it was a scheme to encourage the kids to come up, but not in reality, he wasn't doing it, he was including all of them on it. Tanya Namayachi, we have a bright that reports that understanding. Maseh v'kidmu benot banim. Case where the girls got there before the boys. Nimsa banot zvizimu banim shvilim. And then we see that the girls were this result, the ones who had the alacrity, made it quickly up to Yerushalayim. And the banim are shvilim, they were the lazy ones, they were slacking off. But again, obviously here, the point being that the adjectives used to describe them is telling you the purpose of the scheme. It wasn't that, oh yeah, then the banot get it, the banim don't get it. No, it just tells you something about the character of the banot versus the banim. And that's the whole idea of this Mishnah, that it's, again, an encouragement, not something where that is the ultimate decision point as to who gets the Korban HaPesach. All right, Mishnah. Dolam nimnim alav, ad sheyebo kezai lekol echad v'echad. You can join as many people as you want to your Korban HaPesach, as long as there's a minimum of a kezayit for each individual. And we saw before that, depending on the situation, there might be a kezayit, including the innards. And there are a lot of pieces to give out over here, even though it's a small animal. We're talking about a lamb or a kid. Nevertheless, there's plenty to give out. You could have a large group over here. So, nimnin umoshchim etidem imenu adshi ishchot. This is what we just quoted before in the Gemara. That you could join a Korban HaPesach, leave a Korban HaPesach until the time of Shechita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, adshi zroket hadam. You could do that until zrikat hadam. Now, Rabbi Shimon, we're going to see in a second, does not allow it bidirectionally. After Shechita, he agrees at one point of Shechita, he only thinks that you can extend the other until Zrikat Adam. So, my Kamashvalan. What's this teaching us? Kahai Kamashvalan, Da'afagab de imni alav chabura zu, choseru nim alav chabura acheret. Comes to teach us that you could actually completely exchange the original group with a new group. As a subject to a machloket later on, Rabbi Yehuda believes that you have to have at least one person from the original group on the Korban HaPesach. One person from the time this Korban HaPesach was started till the time it gets Shechted, you have to one individual who is there throughout. Somebody who started on the Korban Pesach has got to end up on the Korban Pesach. Whereas those that argue on Rabbi Yehuda believe that you could totally swap out. The original owners could swap out. As long as the Pesach has never left ownerless, you could swap it out. So that's what the Gemara says here. Our Mishnah is indicating that you can have a complete swap out. Chabura Aleph can be swapped out with Chabura Bet, and nobody from Chabura Aleph still has to be on the Korban Pesach. So this is against Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara doesn't explicitly say that, but that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. This is against this position of Rabbi Yehuda that you have to have someone left on the Korban HaPesach. That's one. Number two. Nimnim moshchim et yedem ad sheyishchot. Am Rabbi machloket limashech. The machloket here is only about leaving the Korban HaPesach. The Rabbanan Savre miyot miseh. This is if you have b'nimat habayit miyot miseh. If the bayit has too few people to be a full seh, then you could join people onto it. Michiyutel deseh. So the Gemara darshins on the word miyot from havaya, but havaya in the sense of a life. So while the seh is alive, then when you're too small to fit on a whole seh, you can add other people on. So that means the chachamim believe you can continue adding people until the seh is dead. The seh is dead after shechita. So until the moment of shechita, you can add people on. Rabbi Shimon Savar, mehavyatei deseh. Now, Haviyatei the Seh is not like I read it before, which is the Havaya of the existence of the Seh, but the purpose of the Seh. The purpose of the Seh, or the main part of a Korban, is Zrikat Adam. So from that moment of Zrikat Adam, that's the point you can add people on. So Haviyatei the Seh, so from that moment of the purpose of the Seh, meaning the part of the Zrikat Adam, you can pull off. You're allowed to leave. Avalima note, to join the Korban HaPesach, Divrei HaKol Ad Sheyishchot. Everybody agrees that the threshold is Shechita. You can't join it after it's dead. Damar, Kra, the pasuk that teaches us about joining it says, b'michsat nefashot. How do we know that you have to join the Korban, you have to have a kezayit? It's because it says michsat nefashot, by the number of people. But we also add that, it's a double entendre, because the michsat also comes from the word, hadar tachosu. Tachosu is a play on both number or numeration, as well as shechita. And so therefore, the people who are enumerated on the Karban of Pesach have to be there at the point of shechita. And so because of that, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, that to join the Karban has to be prior to shechita. The only question is, can you pull off of it? After shechita, Rabbi Shimon says, yes, you can pull it off it until Zrikat Adam, to the point in time where the Karban is quote-unquote finished. Whereas the Chachamim say, until it's no longer alive, no longer is set, then you can pull off. Tanya Nami Ochi, you have a bright that supports this understanding of the Mishnah. Nimnim Moshkrim et Yidei Mimenu Ad Shishchot. You can go back and forth until Shkita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Nimnim Ad Shishchot, Moshkrim Ad Shizrok Adam. Here it's explicit. He says you can join until Shkita like the Chachamim, but you can leave until Zrikat Adam. And that's exactly what we just described in the position of Rabbi Shimon. All right. Hamimanei Mo Acher Bechelko. Person has other people join his Karban Pesach. Yishayim b'nei chabura liten lo et shelo. They can give him his piece. V'ochel mishelo. And he eats his piece. V'enochlim mishelehen.
And they eat theirs.
What happened here is, say you have four people that join in a Karban Pesach. They're partners in the Pesach. One of those individuals goes ahead and says, brings on a whole bunch of other people onto the Karban Pesach without the acquiescence of the other three partners. So they can say to him, listen, we didn't expect so many people on the Karban Pesach. We're going to divide the Pesach into four. You'll take your quarter, we'll take our three quarters, and then you can take your quarter and divide it up with the people that you brought into the Karban of Pesach. We're not obligated to feed these other people because we didn't agree to have them join the Karban of Pesach. So that's what it means. The person who joined a person to his portion, then that's exactly what the partners can do here. They can take his portion and give it to him and say, you divide it up with all the people you had join you. But we're not going to have to give up of our part of the Karban of Pesach for your benefit. Ivaylu, b'nei chabura shayu yadav shalachad mehem yafot. You have a group of individuals on a Karban Pesach, and one of them happens to have good fingers. Now, good old fingers over here is a euphemism for Mr. Quick Fingers. Mr. Quick Fingers eats extremely quickly. And, therefore, there's going to be an imbalance here when they start eating the Karban Pesach. He's going to be eating multiples of what they eat. And now, the Chabura says, listen, we're in a bad situation here. If we keep him together with us, he's going to eat five times what we eat. On the other hand, if we take Mr. Quick Fingers and give him his portion of the Karban Pesach, then we'll all eat evenly and we'll be fine. So can they, like in our Mishnah, tell him, listen, here's your portion, and split off. Mao sheyomru lo tu chel kachak. And they say to him, take your portion, but say, and then you deal with your portion.
We have different opinions before about when they can move.
Okay, so very good. So Rashi says this already, that this is according to the Tana, who says you can eat in two chaburot. That this whole Mishnah has to be according to the Tana, who says ben chaburot, otherwise it's not relevant. That a Pesach can't be eaten in two chaburot, then you can't say even in the Mishnah. When you split it up and say, you take your portion, take our portion, you can't say that. So here also, it has to be according to the Tana, who says that you can split a Pesach into two chaburot. So, mi amrinan, matzi amarduhu, ha kabitun. Can this individual, Mr. Quickfinger, say to the rest of the chabura, you accepted me? And if you didn't do your background check, that's your problem. We're a group, and I'm entitled to eat the Karban Pesach, just like you are. You can't force me out here. O Dilma, matzulamemale, ki kabalina, ne tukune zvicha. When we had you join the Korban, that was to make the situation better. We didn't accept you for you to take a disproportionate amount of the Korban. We had too much in the Korban, so we need another person to join us. Fine. But to say that you're going to come here and take a disproportionate amount of the Korban, that we didn't have you come along and do.
No.
It's a question of equity, not a question of their yotze. Everybody's yotze Korban Pesach, they eat a kazayit. Question is this equitable that this person is eating more than the other people? It's a question, can they force it from a monetary standpoint, not from a halachic standpoint of the Korban HaPesach being Yotze? Everybody's going to be Yotze Korban HaPesach. Question is, because of the monetary aspect that they're going to lose quote-unquote money by him eating more, can they force that situation? Fair point that the Rashi and the Mishnah is discussing a case of extra people, which we're going to see a second in the Gemara, is relevant. And therefore, maybe they split into two chabarot. Maybe over here with Mr. Quickfingers, they can just say to him, listen, we're slicing the Karban up and you're getting your portion. And again, it could lead to a halakhic issue as achilat alasova. If he eats too much and nobody else gets it, they may not have achilat alasova. They were counting on a certain amount of Karban Pesach. And now they don't have that amount of Karban Pesach. So then where it says, let's look at our Mishnah, Tashma. They can subdivide it. Isn't this the equivalent of Quick Fingers? When you bring on five people into your portion, then basically what you've done is now you brought more eaters onto the Karban Pesach. So we have four people that are partners. One of them brings in five other people with him. he basically becomes a Quaker eater, because his chabura, or the group of people with him, are going to eat just more, faster than the other parties here. You can have one person who eats the fastest five people, or you have five people who are actually eating normally, but they're also faster than the group as a whole. If you think that Yadav Yafot has force to accept them, let's say that these extra individuals are the equivalent of having a quick fingers on here. No, it's not a comparable case. Deyot shiny. Makes a difference. The number of people also makes a difference. Because what happens if they're slow eaters? He adds to the chabura, people who are slow eaters. And that means the people that he joined onto the chabura, all together will eat at a slower pace than what a normal person would eat. So it turns out they're not losing. They're losing nothing. These individuals are going to eat at a pace that's not going to cause any loss to them in terms of the volume or quantity of Korban Pesach. Nevertheless, Matzi Amrile, they can say to him, we didn't want these foreigners with us. I mean, we had a certain group of individuals. We liked the party that we're having together. We don't want these interlopers, party crashers joining the Korban Pesach here. We don't have anything to do with them. You might have a relationship with them, but we don't have any relationship with them. So over here, the problem is not the quantity of Korban Pesach necessarily. Part of the problem is, who is our parties that are joining us? Who are the people who are going to be at the Suda? And we don't know these people, and we don't want them necessarily at our Suda. That's what the Gemara is pointing out. There's a difference here. That the acceptance here was only of that individual, not of other individuals. Whereas by the fast eater, you accepted him as he was. And like Yeshua pointed out, Rashi says, you accepted me to eat as best as I can. And now you're going to see how well I can eat. That's your problem, that you didn't check this out before. You didn't check with my neighbors how fast I eat. Right, Tashma. Hashemash. This is from a Gemara earlier. Shachal kazay basar b'tzad ha-tanur. He eats a kazay basar next to the tanur. Imaya pikeach mimalei kreso mimenu. Then he has to eat as much as he can before they take the Korban Pesach away to eat it, because he's stuck. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda. It says you can eat in shtei chaburot, but you can't eat in shnei mikomot. So therefore the shamash is stuck now. Since he took a bite out of the Korban Pesach by the oven, he has to stay there. Now the other groups can take the Korban Pesach where they had planned to eat it. But he's stuck. So what's the suggestion? Eat as much as they can before they take it away. If they decide they want to be nice to him, then they make the chabura next to him, then he can join them. Ratzuin, lo ratzulo. So it sounds like this. It's at the option of the chabura. Banai. You accepted me, then I should be allowed to eat where I am, but also to take as much as I want. When we accepted you as the shamish, that was, we put you on the Korban Pesach. Say he didn't even have to pay for it necessarily. They accepted him because he was going to be the shamash. He was going to be the server and the roaster taking care of the meal. But we didn't accept you on the Korban Pesach to force us now to service you by basically having to move our whole meal over to where you are. It basically, in the spirit of what we brought you on to do here as a shamash, you're failing it, and we didn't accept that. So that's why it's up to them what they want to do. Can't force them to join him, because he was not the determining factor in the korban. He was actually, in some senses, he might have been an addendum. He was an adjunct to the korban pesach because they wanted him to be the shamash, but not because he's going to dictate where the korban is going to be and where everybody's going to have to eat. So that's not a proof. Tashma. B'nei chabura she'yadav shel achad mehem yafot. Here we have an explicit braita that says if you have a quick fingers on the korban, b'shem lamar lo tuchel kecha b'tzei. They can say to him, take your chelek and out. So again, the lashon of tzei makes it sound like he's going over to another chabura. It sounds like they did it before they're eating. Again, obviously, if they started eating already, then either it's according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that you can split off and do shtei mekamot, or it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a case where they don't move far enough away that's considered to be shnei mekamot. V'lo'ot, el afil chamisha v'asu sibolet. If they have five people who came together and made a sibolet. Sibolet is basically a potluck. They come together and over the year, they basically share every day. They come and bring in a piece of the food and they share their meal all year long. Shem lamar lo tu chel kecha b'tzei. They're allowed to say to one of the individuals, take your portion and out. Shema mina. So here we have an explicit braita. So number one is, as far as the chabura at the Pesach, we have an answer. Which is if you have a quick fingers there, you're allowed to drop them out. You're allowed to carve them out of the Pesach. Both literally and figuratively, you can carve them out of the Pesach. Now, on the other hand, what's this story with the rest of the year? My v'lo od. What does it mean? Not only this, but lo mi bai gemar. Lo mi bai Pesach tamatzi amri lei ki kabelinach letikunei zvicha. But Pesach, you have the additional claim, which is when we had you, brought you onto the Korban HaZevach, was to make sure that there was the right number of people for the amount of food on this Korban. So that's why we did it. Ela afilu sibolet nami. even for this potluck, did Savta Ba'almahu, the whole purpose of potluck, Fred, like what you were saying, is the whole purpose is for company. It's so that we have company together. It's not about the amount of food, it's about the fact that we eat together every night. Rishayin Lamarlo Tuchel Kuchad, despite that fact, they still can say to him, take your portion of it, say. Ikadam, right? Some say, Haloi Bailan. That wasn't a question. This was our question. Bnei Chabura, Rishayim Lechalek. Oh, wait, Rishayim Lechalek. Bnei Chabura, can they break apart or can they not break apart? Tashma. Bnei Chabura, Shayu Yadav Shalachamim Yafot, Rishayim Lomarlo, Tuchel Kuchabitzei. Our brayta that we just brought as the proof that they can say to this individual, out of here. It says, Yadav Yafot in. That's only a case where he's quick fingers. Ain Yadav Yafot low. But if there wasn't a quick fingers here, you wouldn't be able to divide up. Shma Mina. So from there, it sounds like, only if you have a reason to break up the korban or the chabura, you're allowed to do it. Otherwise, you can't. You can't just break up the chabura. You have to have something that makes or compels you to break up the chabura in order to make it equitable. But otherwise, you're not allowed to break it up. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Arivu Rifta, Bahadeh Adadi. Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua got into a partnership. A partnership of food. A food partnership where they would join together for meals. So they broke bread together. Adachi, Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Chado. By the time Rav Huna Breda have Yeshua finished one loaf of bread or one roll, Acher Papa Arba, Rav Papa had taken down four of them. Amalei Palugli. He says, we're splitting up. This is not the type of partnership that I want to be in. I'm losing out, I'm getting a one of four on my investment, I'm getting back here. It's not working so well for me. So Amalei Kabiltun. He says, too bad, you accepted it already. We joined in the partnership. You can't break the partnership after the fact. You're accepting me. Etevei Kohani Tiyufta. He brought all the questions that we brought above about whether Mr. Quickfingers can be dropped out of the Chabura. Vishani Kedishanina. And he answered all of them like we answered up above. Eitvei B'nei Chabura. Then he finally brought the Braita that we brought that was the final decisive Braita that said when you have a Quickfingers, you can't dump him out. Armalei Hatam De Amri Lei. Kikablina Achle Tukune Zvicha. He says over there, he gave the answer that the Gemara gave also, which is, over there was because they can make a claim that we brought you onto the korban to fix things up and to make it equitable, the break of the korban. But in a regular case, that's not necessarily true. Eitvei Sibolet. So he brought in the second half of the Braita, which says that it applies even to the potluck when they get together. Poligle. So then he had to acquiesce and he broke up with him. A papa gave him his money back and the partnership was dissolved. Azal Arib Bahadi Ravina. So then Rav Huna Bray the Rav Yeshua, who needed an investment advisor, wasn't the best investor, went ahead and joined with Ravina. Adachal Rav Huna Bray the Yeshua Chado, by the time he ate one, Achal Ravina Tam Niayo. Ravina was able to take down eight loaves of bread. So he went from a case where he was getting a 1-4 return, now he's getting like 1 out of 8 return because he got Ravina. Amar, Meya Papi, Velo Chada Ravina. I'd rather have 100 Rapapas and not 1 Ravina. I think he needs to stay out of the investment business, but again, you can break it up. That's the point here afterwards. If you see after the fact that this wasn't exactly what you had planned, then you could break up the partnership because it wasn't the intention when you joined the partnership that there be an inequitable split. Rapapa, we know from the Gemara Baba Kamo, about the bench there, it says Rapapa Baba Saraya, that he was a large man. So that made sense that he was eating here. Ravina, I don't recall, I could be wrong, I don't recall anywhere where Ravina was noted as being someone with a larger appetite. Taravanan. Hamemene Acherimimo Apisko Vachagigato. Person who has other people join his Pesach or his Chagigah. Chagigah Yudalit here we're talking about. The Chagigah that is the precursor to the Korban HaPesach where you need to eat on the sofa. Ma'ot Shabiyado Chulin. It's an interesting idea here because in general you can't do this. But here, he basically upfront buys the Korban HaPesach, upfront buys the Chagiga. As people buy into the Korban, the money that they give him becomes Chulin, and he can keep that money. Now, it's strange for a number of reasons, which is, first of all, generally you can't transact in Kodashim. Number two is, you have something interesting happening here. He has a Korban HaPesach, which is Kodesh. These people were Makdish their money to be for a Korban HaPesach. And now they hand the money over to him, and what they're doing, they're exchanging it onto the Korban HaPesach. But the Korban HaPesach is already Kodesh. So they're taking money that's Kodesh, exchanging it onto a Korban HaPesach that's Kodesh, and it becomes Chulin. Yeah, obviously, Korban HaPesach is unique in this way, which is that Korban HaPesach, when he buys it, it's with this in mind, which is that he's buying the whole thing, knowing that he's not going to be the sole eater or owner of his Korban HaPesach. He intends to sell a portion of it, so it's built into the way that he's Makdish, or he buys it, is the fact that he basically is only Makdish, his portion, technically. I mean, obviously you can't do that, but his portion of it is what he really makes Kodesh. The remaining portion is what's Chulin.
That's for the Chagigah also.
Not right, for the Chagigah Yudalit. Only not all Chagigot, but just Chagigah Yudalit, it also applies. But Mokher Lotav Shlamav, someone who sells is a regular Olah Shlamav, Lo Asav Lo Chulim, it doesn't work. So as opposed to normally, because of exactly the problems I raised here, it does not work normally with an Olah and Shlamim. And that's why before we discussed about buying the Motar Pesach, that Tosfot said it's not a great solution to buy somebody's animal that's a Motar Pesach, because you say over here, you can't sell a Shlamim. It's not really a solution to go buy someone's Shlamim, because they can't sell it. But then, if you do try to buy it, the Ma'ot, Koshen, Iplun, and Dava. All the money that the buyer tried to put in here becomes Kodesh, and they fall into Dava, it becomes a Korban Olah. You have to give it in as the voluntary offerings, Olot, that go into the Mikdash. Where it says, V'chim ha'chard lo asav lo klum. You just said here, the sale doesn't go through. It's a meaningless sale. Ma'ot amay yipulin adava. Why does the money become kodesh? Amarova cancel. It's a fine. We want to stop people selling their korbanot. So truthfully, the person that should have been fined is the seller. But we can't really find the seller because nothing went through. Nothing happened over here. So what we do is, we find the buyer. So the Gemara uses an expression in other places, which is it the mouse that stole or the hole in the wall that stole? The mouse takes the stuff into the hole in the wall. Truthfully, the mouse did steal. But if you close up the hole, the mouse can't take away the food to go into the hole in the wall. So what you're doing is taking away the buyers so that therefore the sellers can't sell anymore. So they penalize the buyers. They shut the market down, basically, by taking out the buyers. So there's a knas on the buyers. My koshein, what does it mean, any money? Avgav d'lo havu shavu ala arba'ah. Say the korban was only worth 4. He overpaid for the korban. Even the excess that he paid above market for it, he loses that as well, and that all goes. All right, I think we're going to stop over here.